Okay, we're starting here with the Mishnah on the bottom. You Gimel Amud Bet. Mishnah says, "Yeshu chel achilachat, v'chayvin alei arba'a chatot." Person can have one eating, one consumption, but then that consumption is going to end up with four chatot v'sham echad. Here's the case: Tamei, person who has tumat aguf, shachal chelev, he eats chelev that was notar mina muktashim biyom haKippurim. So let's go through each of these. He has. The Mukdashim is the Asham. Asham becomes an Asham Me'ilot for misappropriating Hekdesh. So since it's Mina Mukdashim, that's what gets him the Asham. In terms of the four Chatot, eating on Yom HaKippurim is Chayav Karet. And being Chayav Karet, if he does it B'Shogeg, he'll be Chayav HaChatat. So that's one of the Chatot. He is eating Chelev and Notar, both of which are Piuvei Karet that have a Chatat associated with them. So that's three chatot, and on top of that, he is a tamei that's eating from the mukdashim. Someone who is tamei, who is eating from the mukdashim, that's eating kodesh betumat aguf. Lo nase mitzvato. It's only not mi'ilah when it's nase mitzvato. Mitzvah's been done to it, then it removes the mi'ilah. But if the mitzvah is yet to be done to it, then you still have the mi'ilah. Put on the mizbeach. Chelev goes on the mizbeach. Alright, so we have these, the chatot, again, where the one, because he has tumat aguf, and he's eating kodesh, number two is eating chelev, number three is eating notar, and he's eating on Yom HaKippurim, and the Hashem me'ilah for eating mikdashim. Rabbi Meir, if I have Shabbat, what's your biv, chayav, there would be an additional chatat, if he took it out, he carried it out, oh, I'm in a shame. It's a different action. One action is the eating action that would cause his goreim to the five different items here, the four chatot and the one Hashem. Versus Hotzio, which is a different action that would cause or be goreim to another chatat. Where it says, Neima Itle, the Rabbi Meir, Isur Chalal Isur. Oh, Rabbi Meir over here, he holds of Isur Chalal Isur. And we know, and it's not true, because Rabbi Meir does not hold of Isur Chalal Isur. And here's a Stam Mishnah. Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Meir. And here it seems from Rabbi Meir that you have stacked on Isur after Isur after Isur, and he's trying to put on even another Isur on top of it. How could that be? So he says, Nahi, the Isur al Chalal Isur Leitle, Rabbi Meir in general does not hold that an Isur can be Chal on another Isur. You can't have stacked Isurim. But there's an exception to that rule, and that's Isur Kolel, the Isur Mosif Idle. He has certain types of Isurim that can be added on top of a previous Isur. Those are Isur Kolel and Isur Mosif. The difference between them is that the Isur Kolel focuses on the Gavra, the individual. The individual himself, he has more Isurim regarding other chafatzim, regarding other items. That's called an Isur Kolel. And then, Isur Mosif, case of Isur Mosif is where the chefs itself, now becomes, or has a greater level of Isur. So for instance, before there was an Isur Achila, now there's an Isur Ana. So the chefetz itself is now increased in Isur. So the Gemara says, okay, Rabbi Meir does not hold of Isur Chal Isur, but there are two exceptions to the rule. Those two exceptions to the rule are Isur Kolel and Isur Mosif. So now the Gemara is going to go through each of the Isurim in our Mishnah and show how they stack, which is Tahor, Mikara, Lo Asur, Ela Bechelev. A Tahor, an individual who is Tahor, is only restricted in consuming Chelev. Chelev is Asur to everybody. Then, Havelei Tamei. Now the individual became Tamei. Migo dasur bechatichote orot. Then he tosef beinami isura ilui. So this individual who now became tamei, not only can he not eat chilev, he can't eat anything that is tahor, is good chatichot, good pieces of kodashim. So since now for this individual there are more items that he cannot consume, therefore he's also restricted in consuming, eating this chelev, not only because of chelev, but in addition to that, there's also additionally surim for him, the gabalei tahorot. As Rashi points out, so if you hear it says, itzar nami chelev mishum tuma, v'ainu kolel, that's a case of kolel, because this is the gavra, the focus on the individual. Delo itosef isura chepza. The chepetz has no more isur than it had before. This chelev is no different than it was before. El Agavro, the individual himself, he tosef isura the gabi achrine. He has more isurim regarding other chafatzim, regarding other items. So here you have beforehand an individual who was tahor. This individual is tahor, cannot eat the chelev. Then he becomes tamei, and in becoming tamei, he now not only cannot eat chelev, he can't eat anything that is kodesh. He can't consume. So in the fact that he can't eat anything that's kodesh, now he also cannot It is chela because of the Isur Tuma. So that's the Isur Kolel. Then, v'chelev mi'ikara lo'asar elo ba'achila. Chelev originally only has a restriction against being eaten. Chelev has an Isur Achila, no Isur Ana. Akdeshe, once it been Kodesh, migo di desof be Isur Hana'a, hitosib be the gabe chelev, or Isur Achila the gabe chelev. So the same way, here, now we have what's called an Isur Mosif. Before, this object, this chelev, was asur. It's asur because it's chelev. But it's only asur in eating or consuming. On the other hand, once you make it into something that was kodesh, kodesh also adds on, not only from the Isur Achila, but an Isur Hana'a. And in adding an Isur Hana'a, this chefetz now has a greater Isur on it. That greater Isur extends the Isur onto the chelev itself. So now, before I was only asur b'chelev, now I'm asur b'chelev, that is kodesh. Because kodesh added on this additional aspect of Isur Hana'a. It's an Isur Mosif. The next one, bakate lehejot hud asur. At this point in time, the chelev is only asur to an individual, to a hedyot. But it's mutar legvoa, meaning to a kodesh baruch to be put on the mizbeach. Then, havalei notar. Once it becomes notar, migo di tosif yisura legabe gvoa, itusif gabe hedyot. Now, this is again is an isur mosif, because the notar now is now not only restricted from a hedjot, which was before because it was chelev mukdashim, that can't be eaten by a hedjot. Now it can't even be eaten by the mizbeach. So there's a greater isur on this chefetz now. The chefetz before was only asur to hedjotot. Now this chefetz is asur even to kodesh baruch hu, even to the mizbeach. I mean, also the mizbeach, migo, that it was itosif the gavoa, the surah the gabe gavoa, itosif nami the gabe hedjot. Isur mosif. Right, because the chefetz itself now is not only asur to a hejot, it's also asur to go on the mizbeach. Then the last thing is chalalei yom ha-kipurim. Chalalei yom ha-kipurim, on Yom Kippur, now another iser kolel. Migo di tosif be iser the gabe chulin. This individual now can't eat anything. Before, now it was tamei, and that there was mukdashim, and all these other iserim and chalev that prevented him from eating it. But he could eat anything that was chulin, regular chulin, he could eat. Because even when you're tamei, you can eat it. Even if it's not chelev, it's not notar, you can eat any chulin. Yom Kippur comes along, you can't eat anything. So the fact that you can't eat anything on Yom HaKippurim, itosib be yisur legabe chulim, itosib be legabe gva. Therefore, you add another Isur on top of this. So the Gemara lays out here a principle. This is an important principle. There's a machloket in general, whether Isur, chalal, Isur. But you can have two Isurim stacked on top of each other. The classic case of that is chelev and nevela. There's an Isur chelev, and there's an Isur Nevela, or Isur Behemat Meya, and then an Isur Nevela. Can they be Chal on each other? If you have an Isur Chelev that exists even when the animal is alive, then the animal dies and it adds on an Isur Nevela. There's Chelev now, if someone eats that Chelev, are they only in violation of Chelev? Or are they in violation of Chelev and Nevela? That's a classic case of Isur Chalal Isur. Does the Nevela impact the Chelev? Another case, if you have a non-kosher animal, non-kosher animal is restricted because it's a behemat mea. Then the animal dies. It's also a nevela. Does the Isur of nevela, is it chal on a behemat mea? Or is the only restriction you have against eating this animal because of behemat mea? Or is the Isur of nevela chal on top of that? So that's a machloket. And we know that Rabbi Meir's opinion is ein Isur chal al Isur. That one Isur cannot be chal on another Isur. So here we just gave two examples of where you can have Isur chal al Isur. The Gemara comes here and says that even according to the one, Rabbi Meir, who says, Ein Isur Chalal Isur, that you don't have it. In that case, where you have Chelev and Nevela, so that Chelev is only Asur Mishum Chelev, not Asur Mishum Nevela, because there's only one Isur. Nevertheless, in instances where you have an Isur Mosif, or an Isur Kolel, we will allow Isur to be Chalal Isur. Isur Mosif is where the Chefetz, the object itself, now is broader restrictions. Meaning that it's not only restricted in Achila, it becomes Asur B'Hana'a. It's not only restricted to these individuals, it becomes restricted to more individuals. So that there, the Chefetz changes its status and how much or how big the Isur that is upon it. It's called an Isur Mosif. Isur Kolel is where the individual is affected, the Gavro. The individual here now is affected by the new Isur, not only in regards to this Chefetz, but to other Chafetzim. And since now other Chafetzim are Asur, in addition to those other chametzim being asur, you'll also be asur more so in this isur. Give an example here, we just said it's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur adds on isur to the gavra, not only the object that we're looking at, but all objects, any food, we restricted now. The fact that now he's restricted in any food will add on an isur even to the chayfetz that was otherwise asur to him beforehand. Whether it was chalev, nevela, anything that was asur to him beforehand will add on the additional isur of Yom HaKippurim. So that's what the Gemara just showed us, that our Mishnah involves two isurei kolel and two isurei mosif. The isur of Tumah and Yom HaKippurim are isurei kolel because there the gavra has more isurim. When he was tahor, he could eat anything besides this chalev. Now that he became Tameh, he's restricted in certain Kodashim from eating them. So now that he's more restricted, that impacts on the Chelev itself. Same thing with Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim beforehand, he could only not eat these Isurim. Now Yom Kippur comes, he can't eat even things that are Mutarim. And then we have two Isurei Mosif. The two Isurei Mosif are Notar and Hekdesh. The Hekdesh, because beforehand, if it was Chelev, it was only Asur Bachila. Hekdesh now makes it Asur Behana'a as well. That's an extra Easter in the Chayfetz. Notar, the same thing. Notar before the Chelev was only restricted. Chelev Shemukdashim was only restricted to a Hejot, but the Mizbeach could eat it. Now that it became Notar, even the Mizbeach cannot eat it. So there's an additional Easter here. So I have two Easterei Kolel, two Easterei Mosif, and that's why Astam Mishnah, which is Rabbi Meir, can have a case where there are multiple Easterim being Chal on a single item. The Rambam, in summarizing this Mishnah, says, "Uzkor klalim elu simam neged einecha zlei shelo yitzdarfu bepula achat isurim rabim ela beachad mishlosha klalim elu." That there can't be isur chalo isur except for these three exceptions. One of them is bebat achat, which we're going to bump into in later today's daf. When they happen simultaneously, both isurim or chal take effect at the same moment, then they can be two isurim on a single object. Isur kolel, like we mentioned in our Mishnah, and isur mosif. And then the Rambam continues later on with a very interesting line which has impact in terms of Basar v'chalav. And that is, V'yesh b'dvarim eile nikuda nifla'a na'ir aleha. There's an unbelievable point that is made out of this Mishnah. V'fi shi mafteach l'nyanim acherim nosaf l'ma sheyesh ba midyuk ayyun. It has more implications or impact than what meets the eye here on the location. V'hi min yadua shebasar v'chalav asur ba'na'a. V'chalev. And the fats are derech mashal mutar ba'ana. They're asur ba'achila, but they're mutar ba'ana. Vim bishel achelev bichalav. If he mixes this chelev with milk, matam lo yichol isur basar bichalav, isur chelev. Why shouldn't basar bichalav be chal on this isur chelev? Vuadin b'nevela, and the same thing with the nevela. Biot isur mosif, because it's an isur mosif. They add on additional isurim of isurei hana'ah. Basar bichalav is asur ba'ana. Nevela and chelev are only asur ba'achila. So when you have basar b'chalav on top of nevela, or basar b'chalav on top of the chalev, they should be chal because it's an iser mosif. V'atshuva l'kach, shebasar b'chalav no'asar ba'ana, ela machman she'asar ha'ketuv achilato. And the only reason that basar b'chalav is asur ba'ana'a is because the pasuk says that it's asur ba'achila. Shekol ne'asar ba'achila, ne'asar le'anot bo. Anything that's asur ba'achila is also asur to get ana from it. Ad she'vrod l'cha ha'ketuv, until the pasuk tells you otherwise. V'im bo pasuk o'asar achilato, u'pasuk o'asar le'anot bo. They don't have two separate psukim, one that says it's asur b'achila, one that's asur b'hana'a. Ela shnei advarim yachad heim asur basar b'chalav. Basar b'chalav, the isur achila and hana are one inextricable isurim, that of achila and asana. V'kein shemanu ein isur chalal isur, l'fikach lo yichol isur basar b'chalav, al isur nevela. V'lo yasur b'hana'a, al yeh mutar b'hana'a. Because the only thing that really basar b'chalav is asur is b'achila. As an extension, the fact that it's asur b'achila, it's also asur b'hana'a. But the ikor or isur is in isur achila. And therefore, because of that, there's no isur mosiv here. Chelev and nevela are also asur b'achila. Basur b'chalav asur b'achila. Didn't add anything. Yes, it's asur b'ana, but asana is just a derivative of the isur achila here. And therefore, there is no isur chalal isur, because there is no isur mosiv basur b'chalav. There is no isur basur b'chalav on chelev on nevela. And the Rambam says that comes out of a diuk, out of our Mishnah. And you have to understand basur and chalav well to understand this principle that I'm explaining to you. Anyway, it's a very fundamental Rambam in the Perish of Mishnayot, the Gabei, the Yisurei Basar Bechalav, and the Dinei Basar Bechalav. The Gemara says, V'nitnei hey chataot. Why do you only say four chataot here? There should be a fifth chatat. V'nukma kagom de'achal kezayit pigol. The case where they ate a kezayit of pigol as well. While you're at it, why don't you add in pigol? Why should it only be notar and tamei? Why don't you add in pigol there as well? It says, V'chadam me'ema kumari, b'shtei be'emot lo kumari. It's only one animal, not two animals. Because The assumption of the Gemara is that you can't have pigul and notar happen in the same animal. They're mutually exclusive. Because in order for something to be notar, it had to have been a kosher karban, and then left over past its time. In order for something to be pigul, you'd have to have the wrong machshava up front, and having the wrong machshava would be something that creates it not to be proper kodesh, as makriv, kehatero, but it's pigul already, it won't become notar. Pigul and notar are, again, mutually exclusive, because notar means that the korban was done correctly, then left over. Pigul means that the korban was done incorrectly, and by being done incorrectly, it'll never end up in notar, because you don't have anything that was right in the first place to become notar. So Gemara says, I can't have that in one behema. Now the Gemara asks, is that really true? Why can't you have that? Kugon, shala ever pigul the gabi mizbeach, the paga pigule mine, babule notar. So this is a animal that was made pigul. He had a machshava when he's doing these rikat adam that he plans on eating this animal, chutz lizmano, outside of the proper time. The animal now is entirely pigul. So how do I get to notar? The answer is that this unique case, if one of the evarim that was pigul ends up on the mizbeach, that evar that ends up on the mizbeach, paka pigulei minei. It loses its chain pigul, vavali notar, and then it becomes notar, kedam reula, kometz pigul. So if someone was, kometz is from a mincha, someone separates out a kometz from the mincha, and he did it with the wrong machshava. Remember that taking off the kometz by the mincha has the same din as shechita by the animal, and therefore you can have a machshavet pigul there, and he has in mind that he's going to be makriv, this kometz, outside of the proper time. Now it's pigul. So now he puts it on the mizbeach. When he puts it on the mizbeach, poko pigulo menu, vavale notar. So therefore, it loses its pigul, shem pigul becomes notar. The mizbeach, in a sense, according to Ula, is metaher the pigul, and puts it into the regular realm of kodoshim and makes it notar. So now, if that's the case, I can have within a single behema. The whole behema was pigul. I put one of the evarim on the mizbeach, that can become notar. So I can have something that in it, with single behema, would both be notar and pigul out of a single behema. So Gemara amends the qualification within the Mishnah and says, we're only dealing with be'ever echad. So we're dealing with kamari b'shnei abarim lo kamari. We're dealing with a single limb, not with multiple limbs. It's not a single behema, but within the behema, only a single limb. Within a single limb, it's either pigul or notar. So the Gemara says, v'notar b'pigul b'chad ever lo mishkachala. Is that really true? You can't have notar and pigul? Alam alo, mishkachala. Why can't you find it? Kugon, shala ever pigul l'gabi mizbeach. You took up an ever that was pigul to the mizbeach. The palge anche al gabi mizbech, half the avers are on the mizbech, upalge may have ride the mizbech, and half of it sticking out of the mizbech. So the half that's on the mizbech will be notar, because it'll lose its pigul, pelka pigulo, and becomes notar. The half that is outside the mizbech will remain pigul. So then I have an aver that is half notar, half pigul. The mizbeach paka pigul vavle notar. The part that's on the mizbeach will be notar. Damar ula komitz pigul shelal mizbeach paka pigul omimenu vavle notar. Gemara says, oh, wait a minute, you can't do that. Because, Damar lay lo, you can't say that. Iruba the mizbeach, shadio the mizbeach. If the robe of the aver is on the mizbeach, the whole thing gets pulled onto the mizbeach. Ruba the brai, if the robe of the aver is outside or off the mizbeach, then shadio the brai, then it's as if it's off the mizbeach. The aver goes achara rove. Wherever the robe of the aver is, the remainder of the aver will be drawn along. So you can't have it be that 50% out, 50% in. It belongs to one side. It's either on the mizbeach or off the mizbeach. It can't be half on, half off. An aver is a single entity, a single unit. And wherever the robe is, that's where the aver will end up. Sorry. Tifsho to buy Rami Barchama. If that's the case, we could answer the question that Rami Barchama raised. Halchu be'evarim achar rov olo. Do we go after the robe when it comes to be'evarim? So the Gemara says, you know, in Ochanami, if that's the case, we could have answered this question that we do our holchim acharov. So Gemara says, no. Ella kvezayit achad gmairi b'shnei kzeitim lo kamairi. So the Gemara now has to back up and say, wait a minute. We can't say that we're going to answer Rami Bar Chama's question because he raised the question, we didn't have an answer. This would say there is an answer. You go after the rope when it comes to Ibarim. So Gemara takes a step back and says, no, we're not going to say that. Whatever's on the Mizbeach is notar, whatever's off the Mizbeach is pigul, we're not going achar arov. So now I have a single aver that has pigul and notar in it. The answer is like what Roni wanted to say earlier. We're dealing with one kazayit, not ksuv zeitim. He only eats one kazayit worth of isur. Within one kazayit of isur, there you cannot end up with pigul and notar. Pigol is on half the aver, and the tar is on the other half an aver. In order to get your kazayit, you're going to have to eat a kazayit from each side of the aver in order to get no tar and pigol. So the Mishnah is only talking about a case of one kazayit, v'shnei kazaitim, lo kamai. We're not talking about two zaitim. V'lo, wait a minute, we're not talking about two zaitim in our Mishnah, v'aktani, yom ha-kippurim. We'd say that you're in violation of Yom Kippur. In order to be in violation of Yom Kippur, what does the Mishnah say? In Yom Perek Shmini, what's the violation of Yom Kippur? It's not a kazayit by Yom Kippur. It has to be meitiv date. It has to be something that takes away the inui. The Mishnah says, what's the amount that takes away the inui? It's kotevet agasa. And it's like a date's worth. What kotevet agasa is equal to tuk zeitim. So he is, in order to be in violation of Yom Kippur, he has to eat tuk zeitim. Ubiyama kibim kotevet hu de mechayev, but kotevet eat be shnei zeitim. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Kugon Jachal Kulya Bichelba. He ate the kidney with the fat around it. Rabbi Omar Kugon de Malya Betamre. He filled in the missing amount with a tamar, with a date. So either way, what they've done is they've increased the shiur of the item in order to be in violation of Yom HaKippurim, but they increased the shiur not through the Isser itself. You have a kulya and the chaylev is the violation. The kazayit of chaylev is your violation with everything else. How did I get to the kotevet agasa? It was the fats around the kidney. So the kidney fills in for the amount that I need to get to Yom HaKippurim. But in terms of chaylev, I only had one kazayit of chaylev. The isur itself was only one kazayit. Same thing over here. The way that Rav Papa suggests is that I have a kazayit of isur and then I put a tamara. I put a date around it. I ate it together with a date. It was filling of a date. And therefore, I have the Isser still only a kazayit. Yom Kippur I deal with by having some extra item that wraps around the Isser of Chedev over here. Ravada Baracha Mane Heichatot. And Ochanami, Ravada Baracha comes along and says, you know what? I could have five chatot. And we could add in pigul. Umitari Tzalakagon Dochel Kazayit Pigul. And he says, the reason I have five chatot is because he had a kazayit pigul. Velo Mishani Kani Shinuye Dekamishaninan. He doesn't give all the other answers that we gave before. He doesn't try to answer it up and get out of the problem. He says, Enochanami, he had two kzeitim because he had to be in violation of Yom Kippur. Two kzeitim in violation of Yom Kippur means that he could have eaten a kzeit of chelev that was pigul and a kzeit chelev that was notar. And by doing that, he can have five chataot. That's how Rabbi Adar Baruch would read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Vinitne Shesh Chataot. What about Shesh Chataot? Nukma Kagon Dachal Kzeit Dam. And what about a kzeit dam as well? So Mar says, "B'chad achilo kamari, shtei achilo tolo kamari." Dealing with a single eating, not with multiple eatings. Over here, the individual, and the Gemara is going to say this in a second, can swallow two kzeitim. V'shiro chachamim, dein beit ablia machzik yoter mishnei zeitim. Your throat, when you swallow, that's a kotevet agasa, is what fits into your throat when you swallow. You can't have more than two kzeitim that fit into the throat when one swallows. So therefore, over here, if I'm already in violation of five chataot, I need two kzeitim to be in violation of five chataot. I need the two kzeitim to be in violation of Yom Kippur. I need two kzeitim to violation of pigul and notar. So now, to get up to the five, I need two kzeitim. Now you want to add on dam. I need a revit dam, or if it's coagulated, a kzeit dam. That would entail another swallowing, another eating, because that would mean a third kzeit. Two kzeitim, I can get in one shot, and I can say he's in violation of five in one shot. If he has to ingest another kazayit or another revi'it, that's a separate ingestion. That separate ingestion we're not talking about. I don't know, one shot down his throat, he can be in violation of five yisurim. That we can get to even with two kazaitim. But if you want to add on a third item, that we can't do, and that's why we're stopped at five chatot, and we don't go up to six chatot. Even according to Adar Baruch Hu, who's willing to add on this extra kazayit pigul, still he's limited because you can only swallow two kazaitim. He hits his ceiling. When he gets to five chatot, he can't go on to dam to add on a six chatat. And move on now, Rabbi Meir Omer. V'nitne im hotzio chayav. So now the Gemara asks an interesting question. It says, Rabbi Meir says that if im hotzio b'shabbat, if it was Shabbat and he took it out on Shabbat, he'd be chayav another chatat. The Gemara wants to know now, why did he have to say Shabbat? Why does he just say if he took it out, he's chayav? Yom HaKippurim also has an Isser hotzah. So why did he have to go to Shabbat to get the Isra Otsa'ah? Why couldn't he have the Isra Otsa'ah be associated with Yom HaKippurim? So that's what the Gemara says now. V'nitno im hotzio, if he took it out, he carried it, chayav, period. My time, Netani, my ta Shabbat. Why does he add on the additional frame here that it was also Shabbat? Samar Rafram Zoto Merit. You conclude from this, Eruv Hotza'ah le Shabbat, v'ein Eruv Otsa'ah le Yom HaKippurim. And that you can conclude that there is Erev Hotzah by Shabbat. There is no Erev Hotzah the Yom HaKippurim. This terminology of Erev Hotzah the Shabbat and Ein Eruv Hotzah the Yom HaKippurim, the terminology of Erev Hotzah is Machloket Rishonim, what it means. You could say, and this is the way Rashi explains it in the other places, Eruv Hotzah means that Eruv is a derivative of Hotzah. If you have an Isser Hotzah, then you need an Eruv. If you don't have an Isser Hotzah, then you don't need an Eruv. So he just says the two are associated with each other. Eruv doesn't add anything here. The question is there Hotzah or no Hotzah? The Eruv is just an addition, they're abonon, whether if there is Hotzah, then you have to deal with Eruvim. If you don't have Hotzah, you don't have to deal with Eruvim. It doesn't add anything in terms of the din that is here. And therefore you have a question, and this is what Rav Avram says, is there an Easter of Hotzah on Yom Kippur or not? And the conclusion you would have from Rabbi Meir is that there is no Easter Hotzah by Yom HaKippurim. Because the fact that Rabbi Meir had to switch over to Shabbat to get the Easter Hotzah shows you that by Yom Kippur he doesn't think there is an Easter Hotzah. Hotzah de Rabbanan. That's what Rashi is saying, that the two come in as a package. When you deal with the issue of Shabbat, that you're going to have to deal, you only deal with Erevin. If there is an Easter Hotzah de Raita, then there's Easter Hotzah de Rabbanan, and the Iker is Hotzah. Erev was just dragged along. Now, Tosafot, on the other hand, if you read, there's a Tosafot here, it's an interesting way of explaining it. Tosafot here, Erev Hotzah de Shabbat, he says, Perush Nit Arva. Not Eruv in the sense of halachic Eruv. Eruv means mixed up. Eruv means that mixed in with the other Isserim, there is an Isser Hotzah. So then you wouldn't read it as, I think it's hard to read it as Eruv Vihotzah. I think you'd have to get rid of the Vav in order to read it this way. It says Eruv Hotzah or Ein Eruv Hotzah. Is Hotzah mixed in with the other Melachot or not mixed in with the other Melachot? So he says, on Shabbat, it's mixed in with the other Melachot. There is an Isser Hotzah. On Yom Kippurim, there is no Isser Hotzah. It's an interesting Tosafot. Again, I think you have to drop the Vav in order for it to work.
The Meiri
in Beitza offers an alternative. Gemara discusses this in Beitza on Daf Yud Bet.
Suggests it's referring to Erev Tuchumin and not to Erev Chatzerot. Although that's much more difficult in the context of the Gemara there as well as the context of the Gemara here.
The basic principle we're looking at here is that whether there is Hotzah by Yom Kippurim or not, based on what Rabbi Meir says in our Mishnah, it sounds like Yom Kippur does not have an Isur Hotzah. Mimai, Dilma Yesh Erev Hotzah by Yom Kippurim, Vachitoni. This is, maybe there is Erev Hotzah by Yom Kippur. And this is what he's saying. Im Haitash Shabbat V'Hotzio, if it was Shabbat and Yom Kippur, and he took it out, Chayav, Af Mishum Shabbat V'Yom HaKippurim, he's Chayav for Shabbat and Yom Kippur. So, Ella, that's the case. Itmar the Rafrafam. So then what are we going to do with the Rafram? Allah do the Itmar. You should say it on this. Right, the Tanya. Talking about the seer Lazazel that sent out with an individual into the Midbar to throw off the cliff. It says, Ish, Lakshir Tazar. Anybody can do it. It doesn't have to be a Kohen. Even a Zar can do it. Iti, Afilo Bituma. Even if he does it Bituma, it's fine. Afilo Be Shabbat. Even on Shabbat. Iti, Be Mizuman Ktani. That has to be set aside from the day before. The person has to be designated. Iti Be Mizuman means that he has to be designated the prior day to be the individual that's going to take out the Seir HaMishtaleach. They didn't, like, all of a sudden decide, you know, the God that calls him up on Yom Kippur. Yamod, and here the man's going to take out the Seir HaMishtaleach. It had to be designated before Yom Kippur. They had to have the day before already know who was going to be the one who takes out the Seir HaMishtaleach. And so the Gemara says, Iti afilu b'Shabbat. Iti means even on Shabbat. Am Rafram zotomeret, Eruv Hotzah l'Shabbat, v'en Eruv Hotzah l'Yom HaKippurim. The fact that this Braita had to go out of its way to say to you that you're allowed to do this Hotzah on Shabbat, meaning that you're allowed to take the Seir Lazazel out to the cliff on Shabbat, even though it's in violation of Hotzah on Shabbat. But how come, what about Yom Kippur itself? How come it's not in violation of Yom Kippur? Why didn't it bring it down? So, Amar Avraham Zotomeret. Here's a conclusion. Erev Hotzah l'Shabbat v'en Erev Hotzah l'Yom HaKippurim. Must be that the violation only comes from Shabbat, not comes from Yom Kippur. What says Mimai? Shaini Seir HaMishtaleach de'akshiro v'Yom HaKippurim b'kach. I mean, it's part of the avoda of Yom Kippur. Part of the avoda of Yom Kippur, it's obvious that it violates Yom Kippur. The fact that the Torah tells you to do this on Yom Kippur means that you must be able to do it even if there is an Isur Hotzah on Yom Kippur. The Isur Hotzah on Yom Kippur should have no bearing on this. Just like the Korban Tamid is told to be brought every day. The Korbanei Shabbat, Musafei Shabbat, they're brought on Shabbat. Why? Because the Torah tells you to bring them on those days. The Torah tells you, even though it's Shabbat, do this. That doesn't mean there's no Isur Shechita on Shabbat. Doesn't mean there's no Isur of bringing Korbanot on Shabbat. Just means that this is a dispensation the Torah gives for these specific items. So do it. The Seir HaMishtaleach. The fact that the Torah tells you this is part of the avodah of Yom Kippur, that means that it's not a violation of Yom Kippur. Because the Torah tells you to do it. But that doesn't tell us anything about what Yom Kippur is. It doesn't say there's no otzah on Yom Kippur. That just tells you, because it's part of Avodah Yom Kippur, you can do it on Yom Kippur. So then, it makes no sense that you conclude, oh, hotzah b'Shabbat, not hotzah b'Yom Kippur. The reason I don't need a dispensation for Yom Kippur is because it's written by Yom Kippur. I only need a dispensation for Shabbat because Shabbat, it's not associated with Shabbat. It's not a Avodah of Shabbat. And therefore, the Gemara says, if you read it there, El Darafram Barutahi or Bedutahi, it's a joke. It's not really serious because you can't conclude that from this brayta anything about Shabbat versus Yom Kippur and Hotzah. Because Yom Kippur's dispensation is because it's Avodat Yom Kippur, nothing to do with the fact that there is no Hotzah on Yom Kippur. And therefore the brayta came along to give a limud by Shabbat, not by Yom Kippurim. So since Yom Shabbos and Yom Kippurim are chal simultaneously, therefore, they would have both Yisurim be chal. So the fact that both of them are chal, af mishum Shabbat vi Yom Kippurim, will be chayav for Shabbat and Yom Kippur. So then we don't have Rafram from, we can't conclude anything from our Mishnah, because the Gemara wants to reread the Mishnah and say chayav. When Rameir says chayav, he means chayav af mishum Shabbat. He'll be chayav for Hotzah Yom Kippur, and he'll be chayav for Shabbat. We can't be medayik out of our Mishnah that there's no Hotzah Yom Kippur, because he doesn't tell you how many you're chayav for doing the Hotzah. We chayav two for the Hotzah, one for Yom Kippur, one for Shabbat. Or maybe only chayav for Shabbat. Really depends on the circumstance of whether you think there is Hotzah b'Yom Kippur, but you can't conclude anything from a Mishnah. Gemara moved to the Braita and said maybe we can conclude from the Braita that Shabbat has Yisur Hotzah Yom Kippur doesn't. The Gemara again says no, because the reason that there's no problem from this Braita Yom Kippur is because it's Avodat Yom HaKippurim. Therefore we can't conclude anything about Hotzah b'Yom Kippur, and we have no proof as to whether there is Yisur Hotzah b'Yom Kippur or not, neither from our Mishnah nor from the Braita. All right, now, next Mishnah. Again, this next Mishnah is a little bit of a Yuvamo type sugya. All these interrelated relationships and crazy situations. Again, it's dealing with Yisur Chalal Yisur, which the Gemara is going to discuss again, which is Yesh Ba Bi'achat. This person can be have one act of Bi'ah, Chayav Alei Avav Chatot. And then, when he does that, he can result in being Chayav six chatot, ketzat. What's the situation here? Habal bito, person who has relations with his daughter, chayav alei mishum bito, he's going to be in violation of his daughter, ve'achuto, his sister, eshet achiv, his brother's wife, eshet achayaviv, his uncle's wife, ve'eshet ish, a married woman, v'nida. So you can be in violation of all of these items. Now the circumstance in which this happens is less than pleasant, but the situation is here, which I'll give you the example, is that you have Yitzchak gives birth to Esav and Yaakov. Yaakov marries a woman named Leah. They have a child named Reuven. That child Reuven then goes ahead and sleeps with his mother Leah. And in sleeping with his mother Leah, they produce a daughter called Dinah. Then Dinah goes ahead and marries Reuven's brother Shimon. When he marries Reuven's brother Shimon, Shimon doesn't share a common mother with Reuven. Yaakov has a second wife named Rachel. So Yaakov, who marries Rachel, then has a child named Shimon, who is Reuven's brother through the father, but not related to Dinah, because Dinah is a product of Reuven and Leah, another mother totally. And then Dinah marries Shimon. After marrying Shimon, Dinah then goes ahead and marries Esav. Okay, so now we're up to where we need to be. So this Dinah has multiple relationships with Reuven. Number one, she's Reuven's daughter. Reuven's daughter because he slept with Leah's mother and produced Dinah. So he's the father of Dinah. In addition, Dinah is also his sister because she is born to his mother. Reuven's mother gave birth to Dinah, Reuven's mother gave birth to him. So they are brother and sister through the mother. In addition, she's also the wife of his brother, Shimon. Shimon was his brother through the common father. So therefore, Dinah is also his Eshet Achiv, the wife of his brother. Dinah then, not simultaneously, but after the fact, also married Esav. In marrying Esav, Reuven's father is Yaakov. Esav is his uncle. And that becomes Eshet Achei Aviv, the wife of his father's brother, meaning an uncle's wife. And therefore, she's restricted there. Because after marrying Shimon, marries Esav, Yaakov's brother, who is Reuven's father. Yaakov is Reuven's father, and his brother Esav married Dinah. So now it becomes Eshet Achei Aviv. Then in addition to that, she's an Eshet Ish, she's a married woman. And happens to be, it's during her part of time when she's menstruating, so she's also a Nida. Right, so that we get all the six Isurim that you need. Gemara is going to ask the question right away, again, Stam Mishnah. Va, Leila Rabbi Meir, Isur Chalal Isur. Stam Mishnah's Rabbi Meir. Rav Meir doesn't hold of Isur Chalal Isur. How do you have an Isur Chalal Isur here? Gemara says, Nehid Isur Chalal Isur Leitle, Isur Mosif Isur Kolal Leitle. Just like we said in the previous Mishnah, he doesn't hold of Isur Chalal Isur, but in case of Isur Mosif and Isur Kolal, he will do it. Kigom. So here's the case. The Mishnah is going to lay out this case. Shebaal Imo, Voli Bat. Again, Ruvain got together with his mother Leah, gave birth to Dinah. So that's how you get the bat. The Isur Bito, Vachoto, Vahadeh Adadiyati. So this is it. They came in simultaneously. The birth of Dinah, she is both his daughter and sister at that exact moment of birth. Because at that moment that she's born, they are brother and sister through the mother, but also his daughter. So since the Isurim are chal simultaneously, even Rabbi Meir agrees as Isur Chal Isur when they happen simultaneously. Nisei Dachiv, at that point when she marries his brother, Migo de Itosiv Isur the Gabi Achin, Itosiv Isur the Gabi Dide. When Dinah marries Shimon, she's not only restricted to Reuven because of Eshet Achiv, she's also restricted to Levi and all the other brothers now because she's now their brother's wife. So the Dina now extended her Isurim here by becoming Eshet Achiv, which is not only a sword to him, but a sword to all the other brothers as well. So that's how we have an Isur Mosif here. And the Migo, the Isosif, Isur, the Gabe Sharachim, therefore, Itosif Nami, the Gabe Dide. Itosif Isur, the Gabe Dide. Then, Nisei Dachei Aviv, afterwards when Dina goes and marries Esav, Migo, the Itosif, Isur, the Gabe Achei Aviv, the rest of his father's brothers. For instance, if Yaakov and Esav had other brothers, then they would also be restricted now in this Dina. So the Migo that they have an additional Isur here, the Gabe Sharachei Aviv, Itosif, the Gabe Dide. Therefore, he also gets an extra Isur. Then, Abelie Eshedish, Eshedish, Migo de Asif Isur, the Gabi Alma. This woman now is not only Asur to the brothers or to his uncles, she's now Asur to the world as a whole. Nobody can marry this woman because she is an Eshedish. And being an Eshedish adds on an additional Isur of the Gabi Alma, Itosif Naame, the Gabi Dide, will also be restricted to him. Havelei Nida, Nida is also another Isur Mosif, because before she was mutter to her husband, also to the whole world. Nida adds on an additional Isur even to her husband. Mido di Tosif, Isur the Gabe Bala, Itosif Nam the Gabe Dide. So since we added on also an Isur over here, the Gabe, the Baal to the husband, then there's also an Isur for him. So therefore all these cases, even though they're Isur Kala Isur, because they're Isur Mosif in all these cases, this woman is a sur to more people in each of these circumstances. That's called Isur Mosif. And in Isur Mosif, Rabbi Meir agrees that you can have an Isur Chalal Isur. And that's how we have Isur Chalal Isur in this case. Move on to the next case. We're going to continue here with the Mishnah. The Mishnah actually in the Mishnayot is a second half of the Mishnah that we read before, which actually has Nafkuminot in the Machloket Rishonim. We're going to see in a second. Which is Abal Bat Bito Chayav Aleha Mishum. And now a person can have relations with his bat bito, his granddaughter, and end up with being chayev aleha mishum. Now here there's a list of isurim. The way we have it in our Mishnah, there's a list of six isurim, which would match up with what we saw in the previous Mishnah, and that would say that this case, and actually the other cases that are found in this Mishnah, are all cases of one biyad that results in six chataot being brought. Tosafot says that's the proper girsa, and it should be six chataot. Rashi, on the other hand, adds in another Isur here of achot ishto, which makes this case have seven instead of the six that are before. Most of the Rishonim keep that girsa of achot ishto. Tosafot, for a number of reasons, says that it should only be six and not achot ishto. One of the more compelling is that the fact that it's consistent then throughout the Mishnah that there are only six Isurim. Now this case, and I sent out charts that should help you to follow along with this, is a case where Bat Bito, Yaakov, is married to two women, Rachel and Leah. With Rachel, he has three children, Reuven, Shimon, Dinah. He's also married to Leah, and Leah's father, Lavan, ends up marrying Yaakov's daughter, Dinah. Now that's a permissible marriage because Yaakov's daughter, Dinah, was from another wife, and therefore Lavan and Dinah are not related at all. So Lavan, Yaakov's father-in-law, ends up marrying his daughter from another wife. They have a child named Serach. So that child is Yaakov's granddaughter, Bat Bito. It also happens to be that that daughter, Serach, is also Achot Ishto. She's also the sister of his wife, Leah, because Lavan is the father of Leah, and Lavan is also the father of this granddaughter, Serach. So this girl, Serach, is both bat bito of Yaakov as well as achot ishto. And then over here we're following the girsa of Rashi that says that it is achot ishto. And those are chal b'hadei adodi. They happen at the same moment. The moment that that daughter is born, she is both bat bito and achot ishto. And therefore, they are isur chal al isur because it is bevat achat. After that, Sarah goes ahead and marries Reuven, the son of Yaakov. Again, this is a permissible marriage because this is his niece, the daughter of his sister. And that's a permissible marriage. So Reuven marries Sarah. That adds an additional Isur for Yaakov, which is Kalato. It's now his daughter-in-law, the wife of his son, Eshed Bino Reuven. And we say, Migo di Tosef, the Gabe Shimon, meaning the brothers of Reuven now have an Isur with regards to Sarah. Therefore, Itosef Isur, the Gabi Didei, to Yaakov. So that's an Isur Mosif. It adds on an additional item of Kalato. After that, Reuven passes away or gets divorced from Sarah. And then Sarah marries Esav. Esav is Yaakov's brother, but they do not share a common father. They only share a common mother. So they are brothers through a mother, a common mother, called here Rivka. And by doing that, this woman, Sarah, now becomes Eshet Achiv, becomes the wife of his brother. Esav is his brother, it's his brother's wife. And that adds an additional Isur, because Migo, the Tosef Isur, the Gabe Ache Yaakov, since the brothers of Yaakov are now all restricted in this woman because of Esav marrying her, so too there's an extra Isur that is added on to Yaakov himself. Then Esav either passes away or gets divorced from Sarah, and then Sarah marries Yishmael. Yishmael is Yaakov's father Yitzchak's brother, his uncle, that marries Sarah. Again, this is a permissible marriage. Yishmael that marries her now is Eshet Achei Aviv. It's his uncle's wife. His uncle's wife is also Asur, because Migo di Tosef Isur the Gabe Shar Achei Aviv. Since the other brothers of his father now are restricted in this woman, Sarah, that adds on an extra Isur Mosif, and that Isur Mosif will also impact on Yaakov and add the Isur of Eshet Achei Aviv to him. At the same time, he's also happens to be Eshet Ish. She's married to this Ishmael, which makes her an Eshet Ish. And Eshet Ish and Eshet Achei Aviv are chal simultaneously. Just so you know, I'm pointed out here, but it's true of all the other cases, that Rambam believes that Ishmael either dies or divorces her, then she marries another individual, and that's how you create the Eshet Ish, which will be a separate Isur. Again, the Eshet Ish is also a Migo, that Itosef Isumer Legame Alma, that it's added on for the rest of the world now in Isur, so it'll also be added on for Yaakov. And then, Sarah herself is Pirsa Nida, she's a Nida, a Migo, that she's now a Surah the Bala, she also adds on the Isur for Yaakov. Now Yaakov, if he has biyah with her, will be in violation of all of these relationships. Bat bito, his granddaughter. Achot ishto, his wife's sister. Kalato, his daughter-in-law. Eshet achiv, his brother's wife. Eshet achei aviv, his uncle's wife. Eshet ish, a married woman. And nida. So that, according to Rashi, will be the 70 surim. Tosafo drops achot ishto, which will bring it down to 60 surim.
Rabbi Yossi then adds in the Mishnah, Imavar Zakein, if the older one, the elder, then Nasa, married her, Chayev Ela Mishum Eshet Av, then you had an additional Isur for Yaakov of Eshet Av. I'm not going to explain this as deeply because the Gemara is going to come back and discuss this case exactly, but that, according to Rashi, will end up with an 8th Isur, and for Tosafot, it will end up with a 7th Isur of Eshet Av, his father Yitzchak, who now has married Sarah. Now that will generate an additional Isur of Eshet Av because Yitzchak, Yaakov's father, now has taken Sarah as a wife. The Mishnah then continues and adds on another two cases and says that the same is true v'chein haba al bat ishto v'al bat bita. Same is true of these two additional cases, which is a case of baal bat ishto, which will also end up in 60 surim. The case is a case where a woman, Leah, was anusat or Mufutat Yitzchak Aviv Shel Yaakov. Yaakov's father Yitzchak either raped or seduced a woman named Leah. That Bia resulted in a daughter being born named Rachel. Yaakov ends up marrying Leah. Leah being the Anusat or Mufutat Aviv, which is permissible for him to marry. he marries Leah. Now, when he marries Leah, his relationship to Rachel is, number one, Bat Ishto. She is the daughter of his wife, because Rachel is the product of Yitzchak and Leah, and therefore Leah, Yaakov's wife, has the daughter Rachel, Bat Ishto. She also happens to be Achoto, his sister, because Yitzchak is both the father of Yaakov, as well as the father of Rachel. And both of those, Isurim, were Chal, Bahadeh, Dodi, happened simultaneously, and therefore you can have those Isurim be Chal on each other. After that, Rachel goes ahead and marries Yaakov's brother, Esav. And in marrying Yaakov's brother, Esav, he adds on an additional Isur of Eshet Achiv. And that's a Migo of an Isur Mosif, because since there was an additional Isur of Eshet Achim that is placed on all of the brothers of Esav Yaakov, therefore, Yaakov also becomes restricted in Eshet Achiv. After that, Esav passes away or divorces her, and then Rachel marries Ishmael, who is Yaakov's father's brother. And Yaakov's father's brother, since he married her, now you have Eshet Achei Aviv. And in Eshet Achei Aviv, you added on an additional Isur of the uncle's wife. That's also a Migo. The Migo that since now you added on the Isur to all the brothers of his father, so too that Isur will be added to Yaakov himself. Then, in addition to that, simultaneously with marrying Ishmael, there is an Isur of Eshet Ish. And Eshet Ish is also an Isur Mosif, since now she is Asur to the Kol Olam Kulo, so she'll also be Asur to Yaakov. And then Rachel was also Pirsa Nida, which adds on a sixth Isur. So therefore, if Yaakov is Bia with Rachel, be in violation of all these relationships, again, Bat Ishto, she's the daughter of his wife, Achoto Me'aviv, she is his sister through their father, Eshet Achiv, she was married to his brother, Eshet Achei Aviv, she's married to his uncle, Eshet Ish, because she is married, and Nida, because she's a Nida now, so that's that one Bia can result in six. And the Mishnah says the same thing with Chen Ba al Bat Bat Ishto on his granddaughter. Again, here the case is where Yaakov is married to Leah. Yaakov, Leah, from a previous marriage, had a daughter named Dinah. Her father, Lavan, slept with Dinah, his granddaughter. And the product of that, Biah, was Sarah. So Sarah is the granddaughter of Leah, Bat Bat Ishto of Yaakov. Leah being the wife of Yaakov, she has a granddaughter named Sarah. She also happens to be the sister of his wife, because Lavan is both the father of Leah, as well as the father of Sarah. So it's not only Bat Bat Ishto, but also Achot Ishto. And again, those were Chal simultaneously. Therefore, there's no problem of Isur Chalal Isur. Afterwards, Sarah marries Reuven. Reuven is Yaakov's son from a different wife, from Rachel. And therefore, she now, when marrying Reuven, becomes Kalato, his daughter-in-law. And again, there's a Migo of Isur Mosif, because since the Isur now applies to all the brothers of Reuven, so too that Isur will apply to Yaakov. Afterwards, Reuven either dies or divorces her. And then Sarah marries Esav, Yaakov's brother. So now Esav, Yaakov's brother, makes an additional Isur of Eshet Achiv. Now, Eshet Achiv is also an Isur Mosif, because now all their brothers are Asur and this woman. And since they add on the brothers to the Isur, it also makes the Isur Migo for Yaakov to apply to him as an Isur Mosif. In addition, we know, like we know the other cases, she's also an Eshet Ish. When she marries Esav, his brother, simultaneously she becomes an Eshet Ish, which is also an Isur Mosif. Now she's Asur to the Kol Olam Kulo. In addition to that, she was Pirsa Nida, which resulted in having six Isurim here. Bat Bat Ishto, she's the granddaughter of his wife. Achot Ishto, she's the sister of his wife, Leah. I mean, if Yaakov has Biah with this Serach, then he's also Kalato. She was his daughter-in-law because she had married his son. She is Eshet Achiv, the wife of his brother. She's also married, so she's an Eshet Ish, and she's a Nida. Now we have six Chataot that are a result of this Aba Abat Bat Ishto. So the Mishnah here, he gives, according to Tosafot, three cases of additional possibilities where you can have one Bia result in six Chataot. According to Rashi, it's a case of seven, and then six and six. Now the Gemara is going to go back and really discuss the first case in the Mishnah, case of the six or seven chatot according to Rashi, and then Rabbi Yossi's response. And that's what the Gemara wants to understand here. Tani, chayev ala mishum eshedav. Rabbi Yossi says that you're chayev for eshedav. Mi, sharyale.
How can he marry her? We said before that Yitzchak, Yaakov's father, is going to marry Serach. How is he allowed to marry her? Because she is, in a sense, a relative. Because his brother Yishmael had married her already, which makes her Eshet Achiv. Eshet Achiv, if Yitzchak's brother Yishmael had married her, then Yitzchak is not permitted to marry Serach. So how is it possible that he married her here? Am Rabbi Yochanan, k'gon shenafalo liyibum. Yishmael had no children. And Yishmael passed away with no children, therefore Yitzchak is able to perform yibum on this woman, Serach. Where it says, ihochi mayavar. The Mishnah says that in marrying Yitzchak and marrying Serach is in violation of an isur. What isur is there? If he's performing yibum, there's no longer an isur of eshedach. Am Rabbi Yaakov, shavar, mishum kalat bino shnia. That he is in violation of a what's called shnia le'arayot or arayot dirabanan. Because Serach is his son's daughter-in-law. So that's a once-removed daughter-in-law. Basically, she is his granddaughter-in-law. Granddaughter-in-law is an isur midirabanan shnia le'arayot. In addition to that, you could call her also, she happens to be, she is the product, Serach is born from Dina, his granddaughter's marriage to Lavan. And therefore, both of those restrictions are restrictions midirabanan. So therefore, when Yitzchak marries her to form Yibum, midiraita, he is permitted to marry her, but he's in violation of Isurei Dirabanan. Isurei Dirabanan are either the fact that she is his granddaughter-in-law, or the fact that she is his great-granddaughter. So those are what means avar. But yet, midoraita, the kedushin are tofsin, he's able to marry her, and that will generate an additional isur for Yaakov of Eshet Av. The other thing to note over here, and that's what Rashi points out, that why isn't it that she's also kalato? She is his daughter-in-law, since she was also married to Esav. Esav was a brother of Yaakov. If he's a brother of Yaakov, Yaakov being a son of Yitzchak, that means that Esav, who married her, was Yitzchak's son, and that would make her his daughter-in-law. How does he marry her? So Rashi clarifies over here that Esav was Yaakov's brother through the mother. They were not, did not share a common father, only a common mother. And therefore, for Yitzchak, Yitzchak has no relationship to Esav. It happens to be Ben Ishto, but that doesn't create a situation which is a daughter-in-law. It's his wife's son's wife. So that's something that doesn't make her into Kalato, and that's why there's no Iser of Kalato over here. V'chein atam motze b'bat b'no, u'bat ben b'no, atzov kol adorot. V'chein atam motze b'ben b'no, u'ben ben b'no, or the other girsa that the Shita Mekubetzet has is b'bat ben b'no, b'bat ben b'no. So all of these cases, you find the same thing, atzov kol adorot, our problem of shnei adorayot. U'mi eat le Rabbi Yossi Iser chalal Isur. The assumption that Rabbi Yossi is making here in the Mishnah is that he thinks that Isur is Chalal Isur because he's coming up with a case where he's adding on an additional Isur. V'atanan, we have a Mishnah in Sanhedrin that seems to indicate that he doesn't hold of Isur Chalal Isur. It says, Avar Averash Yishba Shtei Mitol Idon Bechamura. Chachamim have a principle that if a person through a single act is in violation of two things that will cause him to have a Mito Bidei Beitin, then we pick the more stringent of the two. Rabbi Yossi Omer Nidon Bezika Rishona Sheba Alav. Because he says it has to do with the first Isur that was Chal. Betanya. Kate Zaram Rabbi Yossi Nidon Bezika Rishona. Please explain to me that case of when Rabbi Yossi thinks that we go after the first Isur that was there. So here's a case where Chamoto Benaset Ishidish. He marries a woman, and that woman has a mother, that's his mother-in-law. But his mother-in-law at the time they married the woman was not married. So that makes her his mother-in-law. Later on, she gets married. So now his mother-in-law becomes an Eshet Ish. So Chamato was before Eshet Ish. Nidon Mishum Chamato. Then the Iser that will be taken here is Chamato. Eshet Ish Benaseh Chamato. On the other hand, if she was married, and then he marries their daughter, and being married, she was first an Eshet Ish, and after he marries her daughter, she then becomes his mother-in-law. So there Eshet Ish was first. Nidon Mishum Eshet Ish. In that case, then we will say that it has a din of Eshet Ish. So, opposed to the Chachamim over here, they will always say that you nidon mishum chamoto, because that's more chamor. Chamoto is an iser skila. Eshedish is an iser chenek. So therefore, the punishment we're always going to give him in this instance is chamoto. He says we go after whichever came first, because it seems ein iser chalal isur. Since ein iser chalal isur, we go with every iser is first. If he married her, and then she only later got married, if he married this girl, and his mother-in-law was not married at the time, then he gets punished for mother being a mother-in-law, because that was the first Isur, that's a Skila. On the other hand, when he married this girl, this woman, the mother-in-law was already married, then Isir Ish was a problem. He was already restricted with his mother-in-law because she was an Eshet Ish before she ever became his mother-in-law. And therefore, he'll get punished with Eshet Ish or with Chenek. Where it says, Amrabo mode Rabbi Yossi be Isir Mosif. Yossi agrees when it comes to an Isir Mosif that Isir Chalal Isur. So you will note here that the Gemara says by Isir Mosif, not like what it said by Rabbi Meir, which is Isir Mosif and Isir Kolel. Therefore, Tosafot over here says, that's exactly what it means. The Gemara means Isir Mosif and not Isir Kolel. The Rabbi Yossi only agrees by Isir Mosif and not Isir Kolel. That's part of what influences his position in the Mishnah. Rashi, on the other hand, says Isir Mosif and Isir Kolel. Means that he subscribes to this idea that Isir and Isir Chalal Isur doesn't work unless you have Isir Kolel, Isir Mosif, Bantachat, all the other items that are exceptions to the rule. The same exceptions we have by Rabbi Meir will apply here. So Rashi thinks Isir Mosif means Isir Mosif and Isir Kolel. Tosafot thinks it's Dafka, just Isir Mosif. So now, in this case over here, we can go back now and explain the case by Chamuto and Eshet Ish. By the case of Eshet Ish and then Chamuto, so over there, there was no Isir Mosif, because she was first an Eshet Ish, and only afterwards was she Chamuto. So if he marries the woman, his mother-in-law was already married, then the Isir of Eshet Ish was first, and only afterwards Chamuto. Chamuto didn't add on any other Isurim, it's not an Isir Mosif, and therefore he'll get punished for Eshet Ish. Now the other way around, where when he first marries the woman, his mother-in-law is single at that time, and therefore Chamuto comes first, and then only afterwards you add on Eshet Ish when the mother-in-law gets married, there is an Isir Mosif. That Isir Mosif would add on Eshet Ish, because Eshet Ish makes her Asura L'chol Olam Kulo. And then just like Migo, that she's Asura L'chol Olam Kulo, she should be Asura to him for Eshet Ish as well. The only thing is that when you're dealing with Eshet Ish and Chamuto, Chamuto is the more stringent of the two. So it doesn't really matter that it's an Isir Mosif over there, since Chamuto was first, and Chamuto is the more Chamur one, we're going to give him the punishment of Chamuto. So that's how we explain the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that Eino Achanami goes by Zika Rishona. In one case, because there is no Isir Mosif, and that's the only Isir that we have here, that's the case of Eshet Ish preceding Chamuto. In the case of Chamuto preceding Eshet Ish, Eshet Ish is an Isir Mosif, but has no impact, since Chamuto is the more Chamur of the two punishments. Then the Gemara wants to know, okay, but then in our Mishnah, how do you have a case of Isir Mosif? So in our Mishnah, when Rabbi Yossi says, in our Mishnah we're adding on the seventh thing they should have, my Isir Mosif Ika Hacha. In our Mishnah, what Isir Mosif are we speaking about? So Gemara says, the Ika Bra the Sabel. That there is a child to the Sabel. Now this is also a Machloket Rishonim. Rashi says that Yitzchak had a child. That there was a child, the Saba here is referring to Yitzchak, the Zakein. The Zakein here whom married Serach, has another child from another wife. And therefore, Migo Diyosif Isura the Gabi Berei, since now there's an additional Isur of Eshet Av that applies to this other child of Yitzchak, then Itosif Isura the Gabi Didei, then there'll be an extra Isur placed on Yaakov, his other child, of Eshet Av. The Rambam and the Ri, Alpi the Shitu Mekubetzet, if you look back here in Ot Yud, in the back of the Gemaras, says that when it says here Sabo, it means Avraham, Yitzchak's father. Since there was an Isur that was Itosef Lebrei the Abraham, meaning the brothers of Yitzchak now have an additional Isur. Since Yitzchak married her, now there are an additional Isurim to all the brothers of Yitzchak. Those brothers of Yitzchak, since now there's also an Isur of Eshet Ach applying to them. Even though she was once married to Ishmael, after Ishmael died and there was a need for Yibum, she came Muteret to all the brothers. When Yitzchak marries her, then the restriction of Eshet Ach now comes back to those other brothers. And since the restriction comes back, now you have an Isur of Eshet Ach. That Isur of Eshet Ach is Migo, that there's an issue of Eshet Ach, will make it that it's also an issue of Eshet Av for Yaakov. Even though they're not of the same shame, even though they're from not the same Isur, but since that marriage creates that Isur, we'll say that it works. And we saw that before in the case of Kalato, in the case of his daughter-in-law, we said that the Migo, that the brothers became Asur, meaning his other children became Asur when his son married her, so too he becomes Asur Bekalato. So even though they were not Min Hashem from the same shame, nevertheless we allow that to create the Isur for him through a Migo. And we'll say the same thing here. It's clear that Rashi doesn't like that, and therefore Rashi creates a case where it's Eshet Av. The additional Isur is Eshet Av, and then Eshet Av adds on the Isur through a Migo to an Eshet Av. And that's why Rashi explains it, that the Saba here is referring to Yitzchak. A Bray means another child of Yitzchak, a brother of Yaakov. that since he creates the Isur Veshadav, so too Yaakov will have an Isur Veshadav. The Rambam, the read it like the way we did with Kalato, which is even though there's an Isur, Abraham is the Saba, the child being Yitzchak and his brothers, meaning that there's an Isur of Eshet Ach here, since there's an additional Isur of Eshet Ach over here, we'll also have an Eshet Av Isur for Yaakov. Okay, we'll stop over here.